Welcome to Geek Therapy Radio. You've got your Mento curator, Johnny Hamburger. I believe I skipped a week. And it just came to mind. I wasn't thinking about this right when I walked in the studio here to record the radio show on the podcast. But yeah, last week was a doozy. I made a Facebook post last week basically describing what I was going through. And I basically said that my son, my baby boy, is very generous with giving daddy diseases. And all I will say is that my body had a liquidation sale and everything must go. And everything did go, and I was severely dehydrated. Is that TMI? Probably a little bit TMI. But I did have a thought, and I promise this show wasn't going to be just all about me talking about my gastrointestinal terror. But I had a thought when I was going through that the other week. Last week, I was very loopy and dizzy. All the symptoms and signs of dehydration. I wasn't very feverish. Maybe there was a couple times over the past, like during this ordeal, that I had a low-grade fever. I did the thermometers like 99.4, but I didn't feel feverish. Like I didn't have that kind of real spacey fever type brain. You know what I'm talking about. When you have a high fever, you just, your brain is it just weird, and your dreams are weird and all that. That's not really what I had. It was just the tummy troubles, let's just say, and the dehydration made me like dizzy and just out of it. And I went to the museum. This was last Thursday. I saved up all my energy, and I was feeling pretty good Thursday morning. Wednesday was the worst of it, but I was feeling pretty good Thursday morning. It's like, okay, I'm supposed to go to the museum, go to a meeting with the rest of the content team and marketing team, and so I'm just gonna lay low for this morning and then go to the meeting, and it'll be just fine. Went to the meeting. I had to duck out at the end, visit the restroom. When I got home, I hit a brick wall. It's like I got into bed at like 2:30 in the afternoon, and just that was it. That was it for the day. I was done. I stayed in bed basically until 6 a.m. or so the next morning when my son got up on Friday, and I felt perfectly fine after that. So anyways, where was I going with all this? Oh yeah, during that ordeal, I had the thought, I was like, you know what? I was thinking about Oregon Trail. So-and-so has died of dysentery. Always the dysentery with Oregon Trail. And dysentery's basically where you have diarrhea so bad that you dehydrate and you die. I mean, there's more to dysentery than that, but that's a big part of it. You just can't keep anything in your body, and you, including fluids, and you just die. Now, the thought I had was, imagine back then, not just during the Oregon Trail times in the, you know, mid-1800s or so, but imagine like medieval times and times before modern medicine and modern comforts. If you had what I had last week and you died from it, what a miserable, miserable death. And if you had that stomach illness back in the medieval times, you probably were sentenced to death, basically. Doctors like, well, you got this demon in your blood, now you're just gonna die. There's no coming back from it. And it's hot and there's no air conditioning. There's rarely any clean, cold water. Cold, if you can even get cold water. What a miserable thing it would be back in the old times to have something that we take for granted today as something as simple as diarrhea or stomach illness. How miserable. How thankful I am that I live in a modern era where, yeah, I was miserable for a day or two last week, but I had Pedialyte, I had Gatorade, I had everything, soups and chickens. I had everything I needed to weather the storm, so to speak. Imagine you were back in the Oregon Trail days and you're in a covered wagon and you got dysentery and you're just, you're sitting in the stink of it all and you're sweating and you can't get clean if you wanted to. You can't get hydrated if you wanted to. How miserable. Thank God for modern science, modern technology, modern medicine. The only anecdote I'll give about last week was on my way to the museum. I'm going to talk about VR, and we're going to do some geek and tabs here in a few moments, but you know how the show goes. You regular listeners know how this goes. So before I went to the museum last week for the meeting, I stopped at the local pharmacy, not a Walgreens. It wasn't a chain. It's just our local pharmacy that's on the corner. Want to give them some business, and thought, oh, great. So I walked in, and the lady who was a young, I'll just say objectively attractive blonde woman. And I was thinking this was funny because if I wasn't married, this would be a whole different dynamic here. Basically, I walked in and was like, yeah, I need, where is your Imodium and Gatorade? So she knew exactly what I was, yeah, okay. Well, we don't have any Gatorade, but the Imodium's over here on this aisle. And I thought, great. But then I was thinking how funny it would be if I was single. And would I dare to do this if I was single? And I think I would. I would be like, I go up to the counter, like, yeah, I need some diarrhea medicine, Gatorade, and your phone number. Just see how that would work. What if she, would she have appreciated the bravery, or would she have been just completely grossed out? Or both? Maybe she's a freak. I'm married, it's not like I can speculate any of that anyways. I probably shouldn't have said that story. More Geek Therapy Radio coming up. Don't go anywhere. Back to Geek Therapy Radio. You've got your mental curator, Johnny Hemberger. Thank you for bearing with me for that last story about my stomach troubles, and well, I'll just leave it at that. So the topic of the day, I guess, is what's on my mind most recently. So last Sunday, here's a little bit of behind the scenes at what happens at church, and anybody who's ever been to church knows exactly. You talk about other stuff, if I may confess. We talk about other stuff, not necessarily during the sermon, but it's the fellow bandmates and I and people on the tech crew, we're all geeks. We're all geeks about something. We all love video games, and we got to talking about VR and some of the best VR games, and I was like, well, Half-Life Alyx. I'm not even done with Half-Life Alyx. Honestly, I'm halfway through Half-Life Alyx, but like that's the benchmark for VR games, is AAA titles in VR. And my friend Buddy, who's the drummer, said, au contraire, I was reading about this other game that you may have heard of called Lone Echo. And I said, ooh, I actually haven't played Lone Echo. And he's like, apparently it's one of the best VR games of all, you know, so far, just like Half-Life Alyx. Some people say it's better than Half-Life Alyx. Some people say it's at least on par, on tier with Half-Life Alyx. Like, you know what? The more the merrier as far as AAA title VR games go. But it got me thinking, and I was like, you know, he really wants to try it, and he was like, ah, is it good enough? I don't know if it's good enough to justify spending the money to get a PC that's VR capable, and because it's not just buying the game for $20. The game's $20 or whatever the game costs, but then there is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not over $1,000, on the back end of it, just, you know, before you get the game, to just get the game running. Like for Half-Life Alyx, I think Half-Life Alyx went on sale, you know, a little while ago for half price or something like that. And I was like, yeah, get Half-Life Alyx. Anybody who has VR needs to get Half-Life Alyx. And to play Half-Life Alyx at full, I would kind of argue at full enjoyment. Like, if you're going to play a AAA VR title that's kind of just the benchmark of VR, like, you're going to want to play it on the best system possible. And to do that, yeah, could you play it on a $500, you know, gaming mid-grade, low-grade, 650 Ti gaming laptop? I'm sure you could. I'm very much sure you can at very much reduced visual quality. But I'm like, if you're going to play Half-Life Alyx or Lone Echo, you're going to want to kind of go for the gusto. And if all you got is a low tier gaming laptop or low tier graphics card. And I know I don't mean to, I'm not turning my nose up at anybody listening that that's just what they got right now, because Lord knows, and we've talked about it on the show ad nauseum, the GPU shortage and all the issues going on in that arena. So I don't blame anybody with lower grade products, with lower grade graphics cards and system hardware. But if you want the most out of it, you got to go a little bit higher tier. And we got to talking, and the end of that conversation basically was that I've got a, this is going to sound snobby, I've got a GTX 980 laying around. It's not a Ti, but it's a GTX 980, and that's when I first started playing Half-Life Alyx on, and it was wonderful. An i7-4790K, which is a quad-core 8-thread processor. I had overclocked to 4.6 gigahertz on 2 cores, 4.5 on 3 cores, and like 4.2 or 4.4 on all core, whatever. It was that. So the 4790K and a GTX 980 from 2014, 2015. And I was having a great time playing Half-Life Alyx. And the end of our conversation with the our drummer buddy was that if you want to get into VR, I've got the hardware just kind of laying around. And my wife was very happy. Yes, you can get as much hardware in the house as you want. So I said, yeah, I'll let you borrow their rig indefinitely. I'll build you a little VR-ready, you know, gaming PC that you can dip your toes in and see what you want. But I can't buy you a VR headset. And this is where the conversation was going. This is what I wanted to talk about this segment. I at least wanted to get to this segment. So when we were talking about VR at church, I was like, you know what, I just... Of course, in my main rig, as most of you know, it's my desktop PC is a Ryzen 3900X, 12 cores, 24 threads, 64 gigs of DDR4 RAM, of course, 3600 megahertz, and the cherry on top is the RTX 3090 that I miraculously procured through much trial. I waited in line a few separate days to try to get a chance at it. Anyway, so 3090, got those two Samsung Evo 980s that run at like 5 gigs per second read and write. I got two of them because this is my video editing PC. I didn't want any freaking bottlenecks at all. And if you have a good video editing PC, odds are it's also a good VR PC because you need that beefy hardware for video editing, content creation, and anything that's going to be beefy in content creation and video editing especially is going to, odds are, be good for VR and gaming. So yeah, 3090 and a 3900X is perfectly great for VR. But I also have this laptop, if you'll remember. No, obviously not the Apple Mac M1. I do have that, but that's barely gaming capable, not because the M1's not capable, but because Apple is Apple, and gaming on Apple is still gaming on Apple. But I have this Asus, however you want to pronounce it, Zephyrus G14. With the GeForce RTX 3060 and the Ryzen 9 5800HS. It is a killer laptop. It is the most powerful 14-inch laptop in the world, actually. And it is very VR capable. But here's where things get a little thick. Long story short, and I'll go into the long story in a second. I have been not on the fence. I've wanted an Oculus Quest 2 for quite some time. Mainly because I want to load it up with emulators and lie there in bed and have a virtual IMAX screen in front of me playing Game Boy games. That seems awesome to me. But there was a little side sale to me, justifying eventually getting a Quest 2, which cost $300 for the base model, 128 gig base model, and then it's like $400 for the 256 gig. I would just want the base model, $300. The side kind of sell to that is that with a cable, with a USB Type-C cable of appropriate spec, or you can do it wirelessly, or if you have a 5 gigahertz network and a $20 piece of software, you can use the Oculus Quest 2 for PC VR gaming. You link it up to your PC, and now I can use the 3090, the RTX 3090 through my Oculus 2. So I can play Half-Life Alyx at absolutely full bore settings through my Quest 2, either wirelessly with 5 gigahertz or a to spec Type-C cable. So I was like, yeah, I can put the emulators on it because it's running Android as a standalone. That's what the Quest 2 is. It's a standalone VR solution. But if you have a VR-ready PC, you link it up with a PC, and there you go. And it's higher resolution. So higher resolution than what I got right now. What I got right now is the Oculus Rift, the first generation Oculus Rift. I do not have a Rift S. It is just the first generation Oculus Rift. And it is great. But here's where it's all going. Here's where I'm all going with this. I tried today, before doing this podcast, I tried my darndest to get that first generation Oculus Rift to work with my laptop, the Asus Zephyrus G14 with the RTX 3060. On paper, it all should work. RTX 3060 is more than capable enough for VR. And the I have, with a hub, I have enough USB ports for the sensors, the motion control sensors that sit on top of my speakers, and the appropriate connections for the VR headset, for the actual, you know, headwear itself. No dice, no go. It is, from everything I've researched, it's impossible to get a first generation Oculus Rift working with the Zephyrus G14. Integrated graphics are AMD. The dedicated graphics are NVIDIA, and it's a nightmare between the Type-C port and the HDMI port. So it doesn't work. So where do I go from here? More Geek Therapy Radio coming up. Welcome back to Geek Therapy Radio. You've got your mental curator, Johnny Hemberger. I'm going to do the pluggerinos right here. So geektherapyradio.com is the best way to get in contact with me, because if you go to geektherapyradio.com, the first thing you see is a contact form. And again, it doesn't sign you up for any mailing lists at all. It literally just sends me an email saying, hey, someone's talking to you through the website, and then I correspond with you there. Ed, Pilot Ed, I saw your email. I'm sorry I didn't get back to you. I was very sick. I will get back to that email, and I want to see your flying video you linked up, and I haven't watched it yet, but I acknowledge you. I see you. See that you emailed me. But yeah, geektherapyradio.com, so you can listen to all the podcasts there. There is a very sad merch store there. I don't like plugging the Patreon because I haven't uploaded a lot of stuff, content to the Patreon, and I don't want to plug the Patreon if I'm not providing you a product there, but it does exist, Geek Therapy Radio, Patreon, if you're feeling generous with your heart. Help me buy diapers. What else? Geek Therapy Radio on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and TikTok. All the social media, just type in Geek Therapy Radio, look for the red, white, and black color scheme, and that's me. If you're listening to this radio broadcast and you want to get the Geek Therapy Radio podcast, open your favorite podcast player, favorite podcast app, whatever, even Spotify, which if you have Spotify, it automatically opens on your computer, and I still haven't disabled that. But anyways, if you have Spotify, just type in Geek Therapy Radio, look for the red, white, and black color scheme, and that's me. All right, pluggerinos out of the way. Let's get back to the topic that I was last talking about, and that is trying to get my first-generation Oculus Rift to work on my Asus Zephyrus G14, the most powerful 14-inch notebook in the world as of recording. It has an RTX 3060. I have loaded this up with as much RAM as it'll take, because 8 gigs are soldered on, so I have a 32 gig stick, and then 8 gigs, so I have 40, what is that? I thought I had 48 gigs of RAM. What is soldered on? Maybe it's 16 gigs soldered on. Am I being dumb? I'm recording, I'm using the laptop right now. I'm going to go to my system and see what how much RAM I have here. Come on, system manager. Performance, memory, 40 gigabytes of RAM. Why was I thinking 48? It's like 32 and 8 doesn't equal 48. It equals 40. I have 40 gigabytes of DDR4 RAM in this laptop, that RTX 3060, and the Ryzen 9 5800HS. It is a baller system, more than capable of VR, but for the life of me, it is incompatible with the first generation Oculus Rift. I have not seen any way to get it done. Any way. And as I alluded to at the end of the last segment, it has to do with the nightmare of communication internally between the integrated AMD graphics and the dedicated NVIDIA graphics. And I already hear some of the more savvy of you yelling at your speakers and headphones. Believe me, I hear you, figuratively speaking. I've gone into the NVIDIA control panel and I have forced all programs associated with Oculus to take their information, to run on the dedicated NVIDIA graphics. That doesn't work. I made the whole system just take the dedicated NVIDIA graphics. It doesn't work. You plug in the Oculus Rift, the first generation Oculus Rift, to the HDMI port on the side here, on the left side here, nothing, no signal. You plug it into the Type-C port through any sort of adapter that I've found. It's Type-C to HDMI, whatever. It all doesn't work. It doesn't work. It has to do with the communication between AMD and NVIDIA graphic chipsets within the laptop. It sucks. Now, I can obviously still use my first generation Rift with my desktop PC because it has the NVIDIA RTX 3090 and the 3900X. And the way that works there is you plug the Oculus Rift HDMI cable directly into an HDMI slot on the back of the RTX 3090. There's one of them. There's like three display ports and then one HDMI port on the back of the RTX 3090. And that's where you plug in the first generation Oculus Rift and it works just fine. But VR has come a few steps since, a few steps of progress since then. And to use my first generation Rift, that means I have to fire up my desktop PC, run that big power hungry 3090, have cables running everywhere from the headset to the back of the desktop PC, and then I have these unwieldy motion sensors that I have that look like little mini lamps that are on top of my studio monitor speakers. And it's just a lot. It's a lot of rigmarole to play VR. I sound like I'm complaining a little bit, but I am a teeny tiny bit, because where we've gotten with Oculus Quest 2 now is that really you don't need any cables. The motion control sensors, like for your hands, sorry, I bumped the microphone, for your hand controls, that's built into the headset now. Instead of needing external motion sensors, you don't need that anymore. The motion sensors are on the goggles themselves, constantly keeping track of where your face is, your head's turning, and where your hands are at with the controls. It's great. So eliminates all those wires. Theoretically, using a 5 gigahertz network connection, I could link up to this laptop or to my desktop PC and play VR on anything. And when I mentioned the hardware of the desktop, playing VR that way, running a power-hungry 3090 and a 3900X, when I'm playing Half-Life Alyx, my system is humming around 700 watts out of the wall, between 500 and 700 watts out of the wall. And I'm just thinking, I don't need to be sucking all this power out of the wall. Because remember, I'm running in my home office, it's running off of solar power. It's like, I don't need to be sucking 700 watts out of my battery to be playing Half-Life Alyx with my Oculus when I know that my laptop is more than capable of doing it. Maybe it's not as capable as a 3090, but it's very good. I'm going to do a live on-air Steam VR performance test here to tell you exactly how good my laptop is for it. But I'm thinking I could be pulling 120 watts or so out of the wall to play Half-Life Alyx and play any VR game rather than 700. So I would love, and plus I could toss the Oculus like in a suitcase when I travel, boom, and just have my laptop with me and have an awesome VR experience wherever I go. Virtual desktop experience. If I use the Oculus by itself, the Quest 2 just by itself, running off native Android built into the headset, I can have my emulators on there through some rigmarole. There's sideloading of all that kind of stuff I'd figured out. Gosh, the more I talk about it, the more I'm selling myself. And it comes at a time when I'm like, okay, last month I spent this money on this, and that, and I'm like, all right, I don't need any more stuff. I'm pretty well settled where I need to be with what I have. And then I'm like, gosh dang it, buddy, drummer buddy from church, why do we have to talk about VR? You reminded me that the Oculus Quest 2 has been on my list for a while now. I would use it so much. It would be justifiable. I gotta figure out a way to sell it to Sarah. it's not like, you know, well, yeah. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. I love my wife. She's very supportive. But it's $300, $300, and I don't still want to go. I don't want to add it to the Amazon cart and be like, what's this? Oh, yeah, it's I need it for research. Something like that. Whatever. I'll get a Quest 2 at some point. Hopefully, maybe soon, but... Oh, gosh. I just... It would come of great use to me. And anyways, so let's see how good this laptop really is for Steam VR. So let's run the Steam VR performance test in real time here. Hopefully it'll be done before the end of this segment. I imagine it would be, but I'm looking at the timer kind of clicking down here on the third segment here. So this is loading up. All right, so it's running. I see initially I'm seeing 172 FPS, 178 FPS. Now the thing is running in earnest. It's 140 FPS, and this is 144 megahertz. Yeah, that's 144 hertz screen. So it looks nice and buttery smooth. It's simulating the binocular? Yeah, binocular view. If you're wearing a VR headset, you're looking at two screens, basically, and that's how it creates the 3D effect. But right now, it's simulating it on the PC for this VR test. So the robot is walking into the room, and what happens here in the Steam VR performance test is the robot obviously needs repair. It's hooked up to this thing, and then the whole thing freaking extrudes. The whole robot extrudes as it's shaking around, and it looks painful for the robot. But all its parts kind of shoot out across the room, and it's meant to test, put your system to the test with all the little particle effects and everything that's happening. And remember, it's VR. It's not generating all these images on one screen. It's generating these images across two screens, and you want to meet a certain frames per second benchmark. You can hear my laptop really going nuts right now. The fans are kicking up, but everything looks beautiful. It's still at 130 frames per second. Again, this is the Asus Zephyrus G14, and I have a feeling I'm going to run into the next segment and continue with the results of this test. So I'm going to keep talking here. All the parts are still extruded. I can hear the bump music playing. We'll see if this finishes in time. Even if it did, I would have to go over the details of it. So we'll be right back. More Geek Therapy Radio coming up. Welcome back to Geek Therapy Radio. You've got your mental curator, Johnny Hemberger. I left a cliffhanger at the end of the last segment that I was doing a VR performance test, the Steam VR performance test, on my laptop. And so during the break, the results have come in. And on the VR ready graph, the green mark is all the way in the green, all the way at the far right, the farthest right it can go. So here is the official readout. And I did it, remember, I did this while recording the podcast. I didn't stop the recording software. I record into Reaper, and I didn't stop any of that. What I'm going to do right now, because the laptop is kind of still whining at me, is put it into silent mode and get those fans down. Ah. Okay, so here's the results from the VR performance test on my Asus Zephyrus G14. System specs, OS, Windows 10, obviously, GPU. This is right. It's correct and it's wrong. This reading as the GPU is the AMD Radeon, which is true, but that's not what it was using to run this VR test. So the GPU in here is yes, the integrated AMD Radeon, but it's also the dedicated NVIDIA RTX 3060. So that's what this VR test was using, the NVIDIA RTX, despite Steam calling my system specs GPU the AMD. So the CPU obviously is correct, AMD Ryzen 9 5900HS, 16 cores. It's not 16 cores, it's 8 cores hyper-threaded, or what does AMD call it, simultaneous multi-threading, SMT? So 8 cores, 16 threads, but 16 logical cores. Anyways, results. Your system is performing well above what is needed for recommended high-quality VR! Exclamation point. Most VR titles have been tuned to run smoothly at the recommended visual quality. Others that use adaptive quality may display with improved visual quality to support your extra power. Please note that while your system's rendering power isn't limited by your CPU, this test doesn't account for the varying CPU cost of positional tracking and processing intensive applications, so like, you know, running OBS and stuff and streaming. Follow the recommended specs for each VR headset and piece of software. Also note, your system's USB capabilities have not been evaluated. Follow the recommended specs for each VR headset. So, quality was on very high, and I've got the blue line going here, pretty rock steady, straight. There's a couple dips across here in time, so it's at the very high settings quality, and the blue line was very stable. Average quality is 10.2, which is very high. I've heard that, like, for really good VR experience, like top tier, top notch VR experience, you want like average quality to be over 9. That's just what I've heard. I can't verify that, and it might be, you know, individual taste, whatever. But anyway, it doesn't matter if 9 is the benchmark. I just hit a 10.2. Frames tested, 10,976. Frames below 90 frames per second, 0%. Frames CPU bound, 0%. So, that keynote there, frames below 90 frames per second, that's kind of the magic benchmark of a VR, is you want each eye, each screen to be running ideally at 90 frames per second or more. This varies across headsets. Some headsets can only handle 70 frames per second. Some handle way more than that. Some handle 90. Some handle 120. But regardless, 90 frames per second is what's considered a lifelike VR experience. And as I was running the test, you heard me reading the real-time frames per second was around, it never really dipped below 130. Remember, this is per eye, so really it's like running a benchmark and seeing the game running at 260 frames per second. But VR, it's 130 frames per second was the lowest I ever saw, and that was per eye, per screen, basically. So that's way above 120. This laptop is more than ready. I keep bumping the microphone. This laptop is more than ready to have an amazing VR experience, but I can't do it with my first generation Oculus Rift. I have to get a Rift 2. An Oculus Quest 2. And I want to touch on this real quick, the kind of elephant in the room when it comes to talking about Oculus and VR with Oculus. Facebook, unfortunately, and this is like the hairy, smelly, farty, disgusting, muddy elephant in the room. For Oculus, and there's not a whole lot of players in the VR game. I think HTC, is HTC even still doing it? I think Microsoft is about to get into it if they didn't already just recently launch a VR headset. There's not a whole lot of players. Oculus was arguably the most stable and supported. Either way, Mark Zuckerberg bought Oculus. I don't have enough time to get into the ramifications of that. Bottom line is, big stinky poopy Imodium needing dehydrated elephant in the room is that you need a Facebook account to use Oculus products. Effectively, there is a backdoor. There is an SDK that you can use apparently to get around the back end of this and not have to sign into Facebook or have a Facebook account to use Oculus. But for most people out there who are interested in VR and looking at Oculus, they need a Facebook account. Now, most people already have a Facebook account, but it sucks wildly that if you're adamantly against Facebook, you don't want to have a Facebook account, you don't want social media, you don't want to be roped into it, but you want to try out VR and you want to try it on the most mature platform, I guess, the most stable platform, it's Oculus. And if you want to do it with Oculus and you don't have many other choices other than that, you have to have a Facebook account. You have to sign up for his Facebook account. It doesn't mean you ever have to use Facebook. It doesn't mean you have to go in there and start spreading misinformation about coronavirus or you know, sharing stupid, you know, let's see if I can get 10 friends to share this prayer type thing, or can I get people, if you don't share this in 5 seconds, this little kid's going to get cancer type thing. Doesn't mean you have to participate in all the disastrous, scummy underbelly of society that is Facebook. Doesn't mean you have to use any of that. You can get the Oculus, you can sign up for a Facebook account, and then you don't ever have to use the Facebook account. And you can tell Oculus, don't share anything that I'm doing on Facebook, so that when Jimmy is on using Oculus Quest, he's playing this, or he's in this part of the virtual world, whatever, you don't have to do any of that. You can opt out of all that stuff. But the fact remains is that, yeah, technically, to use an Oculus VR to its full capability, to use it for any capability, really, you're the average person who's not going to mess around with development kits and stuff like that is going to have to sign up for a Facebook account. It means that you'd have to go against some of your morals and some of your own ethics if you didn't want a Facebook account and you want to use Oculus. Shucks, too bad. Since I had the Oculus Rift at the beginning, I had it since before Zuck got his greasy hands all over it, and I just had an Oculus account. Since then, it has merged into Facebook. And when I was installing the Oculus software on my Asus G14 here, it said, already have an Oculus account? I said, yes. So I logged in and said, your account's already been merged with Facebook. Log in with Facebook. And that's the only option after that. I was like, dagnabbit. Doesn't matter. I already have Facebook. I already use Facebook. I post on there enough, once or twice. I have Geek Therapy Radio on Facebook, obviously. I've got my radio page, podcast page on there. So I already have a Facebook account. It's not a big deal to me to use Oculus because I already have a Facebook account and I know how to not share everything. I know how to disable all that stuff, so it's fine. But that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to get a Quest 2 here soon. We'll geek tabs next week. Might do a separate podcast for geek and tabs. You are worthy of love. You're worthy of giving love, receiving love, and you're worthy of your own self-confidence. Embrace your inner geek. Thank you so much for listening. Geek Therapy Radio in your favorite podcast app. Take care. If you'd like to sponsor Geek Therapy Radio, just go to geektherapyradio.com and let's talk.